Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You can join the show here, the live Saturday edition, and take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. It's been a very interesting 24 hours in the world of finance.
It's going to get more interesting, too,
banking,
from Monday.
Yeah, on Monday for sure. TD Banks open on Sundays. We're thinking about going and pulling some money out.
I love that bank because... if you pronounce the T and the D together really fast, it
like
sounds
titty.
Like it's a, we can't say that, can we? Maybe it just sounds better, you know.
I have always said that. No one agrees with me.
Oh, I agree.
By the way, welcome. It's Ian here with you tonight.
The Reverend Captain Kickass and his brand new Captain Kickass T-shirt are here.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
And Peakless Mountaineer joining us remotely due to car difficulties. We're glad to have you, dude. Last night, especially considering the circumstances here financially, you pay a lot of attention to these things, and I'm glad to have you to comment on this. We did get into it last night on the show as the news had broken yesterday that I believe the country's 16th largest bank, at least as far as by their holdings, has failed. And failed miserably. The Silicon Valley Bank, which of course is home to many Silicon Valley entrepreneurs and, you know, big venture capitalist funds and such, has gone complete belly up. The Federal Government Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, has taken over the bank at this point, claiming they're going to honor all of the insured accounts. Which apparently there probably aren't very many insured accounts at this particular bank because most of the clients...
About 3%.
Yeah.
Reuters took down the story that they had yesterday.
What do you mean?
The link that I have leads to. We can't find that.
What was it about?
It was... the quote that I took from it was, "At some sites, the doors were locked and cursory notes were found advising customers to try elsewhere."
Sorry. Oh, and don't forget, they called the police on their own customers at the Manhattan branch on, I think it was Friday morning, as, you know, these Tech Valley, Silicon Valley entrepreneurs were standing outside waiting to try to get into their, you know, get their money back. Or get it withdrawn, and they told them, "Yeah, we're calling the cops on our own customers." The cops came, and it ended up leaving because it was, you know, it's not like the people were threatening anyone; they were just there wanting their money. And so last night, when we were discussing this, I didn't think, because we did talk about how the stablecoin company Circle, which is behind USDC, the number two largest stablecoin on the planet by volume. And for listeners that don't know, a stablecoin is a cryptocurrency token that is purportedly backed by something, in this case the U.S. dollar or some form of dollar equivalence like a treasury bond or whatever. Well, apparently USDC had about 25% of their... 25% of their backing was in dollars. The rest of it's like treasury bonds and other non-dollar so-called equivalents.
Right.
But of the 25%, they had, and they've got like a 30-plus billion, maybe a $40 billion market cap. So roughly $10 billion of their $40 billion is in dollars, and it's being held in six different banks, one of which was Silicon Valley Bank. And initially, USDC was very quiet about, you know, anything. They hadn't said anything about what was going on. They eventually put out this kind of very generic statement that didn't really admit to anything, and then eventually did admit that $3.3 billion were being held at the Silicon Valley Bank, which presumably is gone at this point. There's, you know, very little chance they're going to get pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, the FDIC only insures up to $250,000.
Well, so. Right. I mean, maybe they had some sort of private insurance, but go ahead.
Yeah, at this point, Silicon Valley Bank gets sold off, all of its assets get sold off, and the, like, 97% of the people who had money in there get whatever the government can get for it.
Right, whatever assets are sold off, whatever that results in, which, again, probably going to be pennies on the dollar. But the thing I didn't think to do last night was to check the price of the USDC,
the
so-called
stable
dollar stablecoin. And I didn't get to it until after the show, and it had gone down to 88 cents at the time that I looked at it. So in the world of cryptocurrency...
So stable.
Yeah, in the world of cryptocurrency, you call that a DPEG, meaning that supposedly the price of these stable coins is supposed to be as close to a dollar as possible. Yep. You usually see them at like 1.0001 or 99.99998 or something. They kind of range in a very, very close range with a dollar. But this thing, DPEG, like basically during, like right before Free Talk Live started last night, it had gone down below a dollar. And then it continued to go lower and lower to the point where it hit, it looks like a low of about 88 cents, 87.
Yeah, Jamie Redman wrote the low was 0.877.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is a tremendous drop for a stablecoin that supposedly is backed by actual dollars, but now they lost roughly a tenth of their backing, it sounds like, because, again, they were like a 30 to 40 billion-dollar coin, and they lost $3.3 billion.
Yeah.
Still currently depegged, by the way. It has made some part of a recovery today to 96 cents right now, 96.17 cents. So it certainly has come back a little bit, but it's not near a dollar. And this is a major failure for the centralized finance world, for the centralized stablecoin world. I just thought that was an interesting detail we didn't have for you last night.
There's
on this.
The update that I had about the stablecoins today was that the major crypto exchanges have suspended the trading of that. Coinbase stated, this is from Bitcoin.com, we are temporarily pausing USDC to USD conversions over the weekend while banks are closed. There's another one here.
Well, Coinbase, by the way, is a co-founder of USDC. This is basically the Coinbase stablecoin,
right?
Is what that's USDC wild. Is.
Binance has temporarily suspended conversion of USDC to BUSD, which is the Binance stablecoin. And then the Singapore-based Crypto.com also suspended USDC deposits. Out of an abundance of caution, we have temporarily suspended USDC trading due
it's
to
brutal.
Current market conditions. USDC withdrawal remains available, the company said on Saturday. We will continue to evaluate the situation.
It's been a tough couple months here for so-called stablecoins because a few weeks ago, the SEC went after Binance
right.
and went after Paxos, who was their teammate on their BUSD stablecoin, which was the number three and still is the number three stablecoin by market cap on the in the planet. But it's dropped. Its market cap has dropped from like 18 billion or 15 billion to 8 billion. So like people are getting out of Binance USD. Binance itself has broken its contract with or terminated its agreement with Paxos, and Paxos has been prohibited now by the Department of New York Finance, whatever the hell they are, by continuing to issue any Binance USD stablecoin.
Yeah.
So, like, BUSD sounds like it's done for. Now you got USDC depegging from a dollar, and we're only beginning to see the consequences of what that's going to look like. And further, the top so-called decentralized stablecoin, DAI, spelled D-A-I, also depegged last night. And the reason for that is because at some point, the people behind DAI, the what do they call the decentralized autonomous organization, made the stupid decision to back DAI with USDC. So the original concept behind DAI wasn't a bad concept.
Yeah.
The original concept was, hey, let's make a dollar-based stablecoin without using the dollar. And so they did things like, they do what they call over-collateralization. So they take cryptos like Bitcoin and Ethereum from people,
yep.
And you have to put in like, I don't know, 200% of, you know, whatever you get into the actual coin. So, like, if you put in 200% Bitcoin, then you get half of that in dollars. I this is a rough approximation of how this works. But the idea is, as the price of Bitcoin and these other assets go up and down, if you've got in way more than the normal value, then if there's a drop, it can sort of absorb
it's
that.
It's sort of the opposite of fractional reserve, right? You have
over collateralization.
Twice as much collateral as you need to do business.
Which sounds fine, but then at some point they were like, why don't we put some USDC, a centralized stablecoin, behind our decentralized stablecoin? And surprise, when USDC went down to 87 cents and 88 cents last night, DAI was also down to 88 cents.
The depegging of USDC caused a ripple effect for five different stablecoin projects. This is as of 7 hours ago. GUSD, DAI, as
Gemini USD, also depegged.
DAI, as you mentioned. FRAX, F-R-A-X, never heard of that one. USDP, I've heard of that, and USDD are the five that also saw a depegging.
It's brutal out there right now.
I wanted to get Peekless' opinion on the Silicon Valley Bank, because from what I read...
Well, before I get into that, I actually wanted to just note that what's amazing to me about this is, so you have not only the number two stablecoin, but a bunch of other stablecoins all depegging, and like Bitcoin's going nowhere. Yeah, all at the same time. And the Bitcoin price, no, it's fine.
Well, I mean, Bitcoin is fine, right? Like, it has nothing to do with the stablecoins.
Right.
Well, no, that's not true. So a lot of people, what they do, they put their money on their exchange, then they'll turn it into stablecoins to hold on to for when they want to throw it into whatever coin.
Sure.
So the fact that it hasn't really gone up and hasn't really gone down is really amazing. Like, you haven't seen so many people getting freaked out that they go, oh, well, I better pull my stable coins out into dollars. You haven't seen them go, oh, I better put my stable coins into the cryptos that I want before they go down further in value. You've just seen it kind of stay the same place.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're saying that people probably should have been freaking out last night and bailing out of USDC and getting into something else. Maybe they got into Tether. Maybe they switched from USDC to the other stablecoin, which is the number one stablecoin, USDT, Tether. In fact, last night, the USDT price was at like $1.02.
Oh.
So the price of Tether was going up, which does suggest that maybe that's what was going on.
Hmm.
Yeah, but people still have enough confidence that they'll be able to get in and out of Bitcoin that it hasn't moved up or down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't looked at it either, but somebody wrote that Monero, XMR, was just fine as well, that it hadn't moved.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look here at the Silicon Valley Bank situation. You know, Peekless, you weren't here last night for the discussion that we had. Is there any sort of initial thoughts you want to get out there? Otherwise, I do have some stories that we can get into with what might have happened, what some people are saying happened.
I have kind of a specific question for Peekless.
So. Go ahead. Yeah, where are you?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was reading about SVB, Silicon Valley Bank.
Not to be confused with SBF.
Right. Yeah. Or SRV, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Silicon Valley Bank.
See what happens with all these acronyms, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, we'll bust out the evil book of acronyms, the Acronymicon, a little later. Everything I read about SVB said that they were acting about as conservatively as a bank could, even though their niche market was tech startups. Like, they had put a bunch of money into, was it bonds, if I remember reading correctly?
Yeah.
And because that was supposed to be a conservative, stable move for the bank, and it's literally because of the Fed's hike in interest rates that this has occurred. So if you can walk me through that as a layman.
That's where I wanted to get started anyway.
Okay.
So here's my understanding of what happened here. So a while back, of course, they gave us all, you know, a bunch of money, and we had no opportunity to spend it. So, of course, what did people do? They took all that money that the government gave them, and they invested. Okay, well, mostly what that means for people is that they put it in the bank. So Silicon Valley ends up with this, you know, flood of deposits, and they aren't able to make enough loans to be more profitable to compete with the other banks.
Okay.
So they put a huge amount of that money in mortgage-backed securities. Remember those from the 2008 crash?
I sure did.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Right. So it's pretty simple. They take a bunch of mortgages, wrap them together, and cut the thing in slices and sell those slices. So they're considered to be really, really safe. Thing is, what they weren't expecting was that the federal funds rate would increase the way that it has.
Mm-hmm.
So private equity Powell comes along, and in order to keep the dollar from just inflating into oblivion, he starts hiking rates faster than pretty much ever. Now, what that means is that treasuries, which is, you know, a promise that the government makes to pay a little bit more dollars down the line, those go up in value, which means that people start moving their money out of bonds, out of these mortgage-backed securities, and into treasuries. Because with treasuries, as long as the government exists, they're going to pay you your money. So it's ultra safe, but there usually was like zero yield on this thing.
Until recently.
Right. So now people are making money off of it. So they pulled money out of the mortgage-backed securities, put them in treasuries. That means that the mortgage-backed securities, these bonds, go down in value. So once those go down in value, now people get a chance to spend all their money. So deposits aren't rolling in. If anything, they're losing deposits.
Mm-hmm.
So this bank still has to make its bills. It has to pay its personnel and all of that. So they were expected to be able to hold on to enough money to pay all their bills, but they weren't. So they end up selling these bonds at a loss. Now, that freaks out a bunch of investors because they're like, oh, I thought you were holding on to enough money to pay your people, but they weren't. So a bunch of investors start pulling out of this bank. Now, that gets the regulators' attention. So they start looking into this bank and going, wait, how much was this that's on your books actually worth again? Now, that gets a bunch of other investors to start selling their stock in this bank. And it just it pretty much snowballs from there.
So is this, and I'm probably oversimplifying, but it seems to me that it's just a lack of cash. I know that we talk frequently here on Free Talk Live about how, you know, there's far more dollars in existence in the ether than there are in the physical world, and there are far fewer dollars, right? Like, there are not enough physical U.S. dollars to represent all of the dollars that are being spent. And so is that what we're seeing here?
Yeah, and I've got, thanks to Lynn Alden, I've got some hard numbers on that one. So the banking institutions have deposits of $17.6 trillion. Now, the amount of money that they've actually held on to is, and not invested in things like mortgage-backed securities and treasuries and all that, are $3.1 trillion. Now, the amount of actual hard in your hand dollars and coins that they've got is less than 100 billion, so 0.1 trillion, less than that. So, yeah, pretty rough.
This
way
is all
less
of the
than
banks
1%.
In the United States that you're talking about combined?
Yeah.
The story from Yahoo Finance says that the interest rates have soared from 0.25% to 4.5%. So when you talked about the Fed raising those interest rates, they say it was 1,700% in less than a year is how the Federal Reserve raised these rates. And then, as you pointed out, the customers were basically saying, well, why do we want to sit our money with Silicon Valley Bank and make 0.001 or whatever their whatever crap can bank savings rate you're going to get when they can go into the U.S. Treasury note, according to this, that offered nearly triple the yield of their SVB's long-term bonds. It says here, SVB's portfolio of long-term bonds yielded an average of just 1.6%, and you could get triple that on just a two-year Treasury.
Well, so it's that, but it's also happening everywhere all at once. So all of the other banks are making the same decision. Mm-hmm. They're going, hey, why should I buy bonds? Why should I buy these mortgage-backed securities since I can get an absolutely sure thing that gives me at least a little bit of yield here? Why should I take the risk that you won't pay your mortgages like you did in 2007?
Right.
Okay, so all these other banks are also moving this money into treasuries instead of these mortgage-backed securities.
Okay.
Whereas Silicon Valley, they're stuck. They already agreed to like a 10-year term on these things so that they could get decent rates on them so that they could compete. So they are stuck in that, and they have to sell it as it is.
And that's why it says here that they sold $21 billion of bonds at a loss of $1.8 billion in order to shore up their liquidity, but that led to the run on the bank that you described where people got caught wind of this. And that's why you saw the SVB stocks apparently tumbled 60% in pre-dawn trading or whatever, and then another 60% after the markets opened, and then before you know it, they're frozen and taken over by the FDIC.
Yep, exactly. The FDIC reaches a point where they're like, oh, well, according to our math, you cannot ever pay these people back.
Mm-hmm.
So they stop trading because the things collapsed, and they say, all right, we're selling off your assets.
I was at dinner last night before, I was here in town, in Keene anyway, and I was chatting with the bartender guy, and I was like, hey, if you got any money in SVB, you should probably get it out. And he's like, I heard something about that. What's that about? And I said, well, it's kind of like with property tax, how you never really own your property, mm-hmm. that you're always a perpetual renter from the government, because even after you pay off your mortgage, you still have to pay the government rent, otherwise they take it away from you. And he's like, mm-hmm. well, I don't like the sound of that. And I'm like, whether you like it or not is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's a true fact that if you pay off your property and don't pay your taxes, they're going to come and take your property and sell it so they can get their money.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened with the bank, because he was asking, why did the FDIC take over the bank? I said, well, it's the same thing, right? The feds can come in and just sort of take over and decide to run it themselves because they're the Fed, and that's what they do. It's the same thing. These banks don't actually own any of their money. They are subject to the rules of the FDIC and the Fed in general and the other banks above them. And if the FDIC decides that it's time to take over, they're going to do that, which is exactly what happened.
Well, and one of the fun parts of this is that the very regulations that Silicon Valley pushed for in their lobbyists are the ones that are doing them in now.
Right.
So they pushed for a bunch of regulations to make sure that even fewer people could possibly compete with big banks like them. And now those very regulations are hoisting them by their own petard.
Huh. Weird. So government created the problem?
Well, the banks empowered government, and now government has turned on this bank.
Well, one of the big questions, of course, here is the government going to bail out this particular bank? There's a lot of money involved. This is the 16th largest bank. There's a lot of big tech corporation types that apparently had accounts at this bank. USDC, the stablecoin we talked about earlier, alluded to the idea that they are too big to fail and that the feds need to swoop in with taxpayer dollars to bail out this, $200 billion in deposits? Anyway, there's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Two high-profile GOP hopefuls are visiting the early caucus state of Iowa. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Haley has already launched her 2024 bid for the White House. DeSantis is widely expected to run. The U.S. is planning to lift COVID testing requirements to travelers from China.
The plan was put in place this year, requiring a negative COVID test for travelers ages 2 and older before leaving on flights from China. It was placed following an uptick in COVID cases in China after the country ended its COVID zero policy. I'm Ryan Daniels.
And the first ever 3D printed rocket is scrubbing another launch. The launch earlier today, Relativity Space's Terran 1 rocket, was scrubbed following a launch commit criteria violation less than a minute before liftoff. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do. Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything that you want to discuss. Ian, Captain Kickass, and Peakless Mountaineer joining you. You can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. Do enjoy the features that you will find there, including our social media platform. It is a Mastodon-based system. That means it's self-hosted. That means that we're running the thing. We set the rules, and there aren't very many rules, except for, like, don't spam and don't be snitching.
Right.
On the Free Talk Live server. If you're going to be doing that stuff, you're not welcome. But otherwise, your opinions are certainly welcome at social.freetalklive.com. That's social.freetalklive.com. We've been consulting with Peakless Mountaineer here, who is, I would say, the resident financial expert on the program.
He talks a good game.
He plays, pays close attention to what's going on out there. You're already familiar with the details, the ugly details of this Silicon Valley Bank story. And as we've learned here so far tonight, it had to do with the federal government and their supposed fighting inflation by
that they created.
Targeting, you know, increasing these interest rates, which apparently resulted in the Treasury bond interest rates going up higher than what this particular bank and probably other banks were earning on their various investments, like you mentioned, mortgage-backed securities and other things that they were investing in. So customers were pulling out their money and going and putting it in treasury bonds and things like that. Well, they didn't have the money to make available to their customers because it turned into a run on the bank.
Yeah, a good old-fashioned bank run.
They tried to sell a bunch of their assets before they could really do it and then took a huge loss, but it still wasn't enough to cover all of their costs, and so now they're upside down. And they've been frozen by the government. The FDIC has stepped in. And, you know, the mainstream media here, some of them are saying, oh, well, you know, don't worry. I've got this Yahoo article that says,
I believe it's pronounced Yahoo.
It says, I'm skipping down to the bottom here. Is there a risk of contagion? Well, if it sounds grim, fear not. Despite all of the drama, it's hard to see the downfall of Silicon Valley Bank leading to lasting damage across the wider financial sector.
Except for all of the tech companies.
For two main reasons. First, banks are extremely well capitalized thanks to strict post-growth financial crisis banking rules. Second, few banks have such a concentrated exposure to risky startup companies like SVB. Peekless, what do you think about this? Is this mainstream media perspective correct? Is there anything to be concerned about here for anyone else in the other banks?
And before Peekless gives his response, I just want to say that at least as long as I've been alive, whenever there's been something in the news that may have, we'll say, catastrophic effects on society or whatever, the news has always been like, oh, don't worry. Like every time. Like, they think we're about to go to, oh, don't worry, we're not going to go to, and then we go to war. Right. Oh, they're not going to drop any bombs. Then they drop bombs. Oh, you know, this financial situation in 2008, right, when this stuff, when the cracks first started to be seen before the crash, all of the media that I saw, the mainstream media, was, it's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll recover. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Their analysis, if you want to call it that, is literally laughable. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so they talk about, oh, well, they had exposure to all these tech startups. That's true. Mm-hmm. That had nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. None of this was caused by the tech startups. The tech startups were doing fine. Yep. It's that they didn't have enough money to cover their costs. Right. And, oh, no, the other banks, they're very well financialized. So the line here is the $250 billion line. But here's the thing. The top four banks, Chase Bank or J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, like all of these are doing the exact same thing. They also don't have that much money because here's how this works. They print an unbelievable amount of money. So now all of the banks have to scramble to make more money than the inflation is causing. So they can't hold on to enough dollars to actually pay all of their depositors or even come close.
Right.
And in this case, they can't even pay their own staff without having to sell their investments because all of a sudden, oh, well, I had no idea that we would actually fight inflation.
I've seen people speculate specifically about the tech companies who bank either completely or partially with SVB. That there's some concern as to how many of these tech companies are going to be able to make payroll
right.
next week, much right. less next month.
The tech companies were doing fine until SVB went under, and now they may not be able to right. survive.
Right. So I'm curious, like, how valid are those concerns, Peekless?
Extremely. So one of the big issues that is happening is a bunch of companies that they didn't bank with SVB, but it was one of the ones that they went through for payroll. So there are companies now that like, well, we were going to fire people, but now we can't afford their severance pay.
Jeez.
And there were a bunch of ones that, like, let's see, what was the other thing? But yeah, so they can't afford to fire people. They can't afford not to fire people because they can't get at their money to pay them right. for the work that they've God. Done now that SVB has crashed.
Do we have any names of who these companies are? Like, are there some biggies that we would all know about?
None that I know of. Okay. It's tremendously common.
Yeah.
Like, and here's one of the fun things. So, like, one of the like absolute breaking moments that would completely collapse everything is so Chase, JP Morgan Chase
right.
runs the exact same way. Now a whole bunch of people have started to move from, Silicon Valley Bank to Chase to get their payroll done. So depending on how that goes, I mean, Chase will either gain tremendously because they've stolen all of Silicon Valley Bank's customers.
These are the ones who are able to get out, is what you're saying.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. Like, you've got to do payroll one way or another, and everyone has decided that banks are the way to do payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got to go through another bank. So they're...
I just want to I want to get your opinion because I'm drawing parallels here, and I don't know if they're founded or unfounded. So in 2008, I remember WaMu, Washington Mutual,
right.
Sort of being, I wouldn't say that they're the reason of the clip, but they were sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, if I remember correctly,
right.
when they started diving. And eventually, J.P. Morgan Chase was the beneficiary, and they basically purchased all of WaMu at some point on down the line. And
yep.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like the same type of thing might be happening here.
Exactly the same thing is happening here. So Washington Mutual was the number one bank crash. Like, it was the largest bank to collapse in our history. This is the second largest bank to collapse in our history. And once again, JP Morgan Chase is picking up all of the property.
Wow.
Well, don't worry. I saw that Jim Cramer said that J.P. Morgan Chase is a citadel or some word like that. They're really strong. They're impenetrable.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, he also said that people should invest in SVB earlier this year.
I saw a clip of that somebody posted, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was a month ago. Yeah. He really is. He's like a shaman, honestly. I mean, he's
the reverse kind of shaman.
He really is. He's the reverse shaman of good financial wisdom.
Anti-shaman.
I mean, he even predicted who would lose the Super Bowl by showing up in their jersey. So
wow, amazing.
But yeah, so, and if. I mean, it's much less likely, and it's going to take a lot to bring down JP Morgan Chase because they have built connections with their regulators for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's going to be tough. A lot of people are just going to look the other way no matter what.
Well, look, I'm not trying to scream, everybody bank run, get your money now. Like, you know, that's just not me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if I got some money in that bank, I'm going to do whatever the heck I need to do to get it
out.
You mean
any bank? You mean any bank?
And not just that bank, yeah.
Yeah. You can't get it out of SVB at this point.
Well,
right.
Unless you're less, you know, unless the FDIC makes you
whole. They're going to open on Monday, according to what I read. The FDIC is going to open Silicon Valley Bank on Monday under their control or whatever. And apparently anything under $250,000.
You can get that.
Supposedly. Yeah. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't know what it's like to walk into a bank that's been taken over by the Fed.
Probably suck even worse than normal banks.
Like, you know, customer service has just gone out the window. Any semblance of customer service they might have had previously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one, like, comfortable thing for the customers, the, like, less than 3% that had less than $250,000 there, it's the exact same staff. It's just that they, instead of trying to remain open, will be closing. So FDIC is just going to keep everyone in place to close this thing down. They expect to have it done within the next week is what they were saying. Mm-hmm. So, and given that they don't have that many people to worry about, yeah, probably. But the ripple effects on this are just huge.
Yeah, I think that's what we're not even able to really predict, right? I mean, not only do you have these tech companies that could be going out of business unexpectedly because they can't make payroll, they don't have access to their million-dollar bank account.
Gosh, if only there were an alternative to banking where you could store value outside of the banking industry.
Right? But what are some of the other ripples that you're predicting here, Peekless?
Basically the system is so interconnected that any one of them, especially a major one, going down, like, this was supposed to be too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've noticed, this happened way too quick for, even if they wanted to, for the federal government to step in and say, no, no, we'll cover you. Like, no, this happened in, like, 48 hours.
Well, but couldn't they still? I mean, there is talk, obviously, about the federal government coming in and bailing out this bank. That could still happen, right?
I would bet dollars to donuts that it is not going to happen.
Hmm.
So, and that's just, I mean, policy is personality. Now, the person who is the chair of the Federal Reserve right now, Private Equity Powell, he is not like any of the other chairs that we have grown accustomed to. They are all academics whose only jobs have been in government and in the universities. Always. Now, he, on the other hand, he comes from the stock world. He comes from the market. Now, granted, that is a very controlled market, but it means that he has a different set of priorities and a different way of seeing these things. And he has done everything to show no, the so-called Fed put is not going to happen this time.
Mm.
Because if he doesn't, now, if he turns on this one, especially if he leaps in to save this bank, then inflation is going to go through the roof. Like, at that point, we are looking at potential Weimar Republic status for
Why
the
would
entire
that be?
World.
I mean, we're only talking $200 billion in deposits, right? Like, for the federal government, that's like chump change.
Sure, oh, they can do it. They can do it, but
I mean, they printed $2 trillion over here, $2 trillion over here for COVID and all. I'm not advocating it, but I mean, why would this go to Weimar levels
right.
and it hadn't
because,
before?
So there's a handful of things that they absolutely cannot do. Like, he was asked, hey, do you want to aim for 3% instead of 2%? He cannot do that. If he were to bail this out, they cannot do that. If they were to remove the debt ceiling entirely, they cannot do these things, because if they do any of these things, people will lose so much confidence in the U.S. dollar that it will plummet. They will move their dollars to gold, to silver, to Bitcoin, to pounds, to yen, to rubles, to yuan. They will get them anywhere except the dollar if they start behaving that way.
And when you say they, you mean like international other bankers and such. They're going
right.
to empty
well,
their accounts.
Other
now.
Nations, too.
Right, that's
right?
what I mean.
Yeah.
Central banks.
Right.
So
exactly.
I want to know. So this one bank is what we're talking about right now, Silicon Valley Bank. Their niche market was tech startups, tech companies. Mm-hmm. Now, the world runs on tech. The Silicon Valley-based tech companies have a large impact on humanity all around the globe, as they say. What are the odds that come Monday, some other bank is affected by this and has something similar happen?
Almost impossible to tell.
Well, we've already seen there was, I don't have the headline in front of me right now, but here it is. Daily Mail says in their headline that First Republic, PacWest, and Signature Bank stocks are down by 50% on Friday on this particular news. So you're already seeing some pretty big bloodletting in the world, at the least, of the stocks of these banks. What that's going to lead to Monday, you know, a lot of these banks are closed on the weekends, right?
Right.
So, like, are there going to be lines of people at the teller come Monday at these other banks that are ready to pull out their funds?
Well,
and I wouldn't blame them if there were.
Right.
Are banks, like, I know the United States is weird, but like bankers' hours, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, right?
Mostly.
Closed on the weekends.
Some are open Saturdays, and
occasionally, like,
the rare bank is open Sunday.
Right, but for the consumer deposits, right? Mm-hmm. They're not open for...
You can't get a loan or whatever.
Yeah, they're not open for, like, the stock market, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So do the rest of the banks around the world follow that suit? In other words, are banks outside of the U.S. able to take any actions to insulate or protect themselves from fallout from this now before Monday, or are they all sort of just waiting for Monday to occur?
For the most part, there's very little they can do, because they've locked themselves into all of these bonds and treasuries that they can either get rid of at a loss now, or they can hold on as long as they can keep paying their bills, and then when those come due, they'll be at a profit. But it's really up to the people now. If people are shaken up enough about this, then they start.
Uh-oh. We have a frozen Peekless. I don't know what he was saying.
It's not even that cold out.
Yeah. That's strange, because I think we still have internet access, so it must be over there on his end.
The video feed was live.
I'm sure he'll jump back in here. But it's definitely going to be something worth watching. And like I was saying, I mean, Bonnie's got an account over at TD Bank.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, they're open on Sunday. Wouldn't be a bad idea to just go on down there and take some funds out. And I was saying this last night. I'm not a financial advisor or anything like this. Yeah. I'm just saying, if it were me.
Right.
And it's not. I'm not allowed to have accounts at TD Bank anymore. But they're open on Sunday. And so if your bank is open on the weekend, probably not a bad idea to at least take some of your money out. Now, I mean, you still probably have to have a bank account these days for various different reasons. But do you need to have what you have in there, or could you do all right if you took down the account by 50% or whatever, right? Like, you know, maybe you could store it at home in a safe or something like that. Obviously, there's no truly safe place to keep your funds, right? Like, if your house catches on fire, then maybe you've got a fireproof safe. But there's always risks, right? Whether it's government seizure of your money in a bank or from your house, which of course has happened to me,
right?
Or it's you lose your cryptocurrency wallet password or the secret words that you need.
Yeah.
You know, it's still best to have a diversification of your money in different places.
And like to me, I think the tangibles, you know, for the lay people anyway. Oh, I don't know enough about crypto. I'm afraid of crypto. Okay, fine. Move some of your money into gold. You know,
sure.
I think that the tangibles are where it's at. Even, you know, odd stuff, like you only think of like prepper type stuff or post-apocalypse stuff. Move some money into stuff that you could resell later. Ammunition, always a good tangible product that you can
hold its value.
Resell, holds its value just fine.
Alcohol, cigarettes, toilet paper.
You know,
toilet paper takes up a lot of space.
Okay, but yeah, consumables.
Yeah,
certainly. If you can afford to do a little stock up now might be a good time to do it. We don't know what's going to happen on Monday. I am very concerned about what is going to happen on Monday morning with banks just in general.
I want to know who the victims are here. I haven't seen much yet. There was a article I found. I was looking for like SVB or Silicon Valley Bank clients.
Yeah.
I wanted to see who was there. And the bank itself had like a success stories page where they showed some of their clients, and nothing jumped out at me as knowledge. You know, I had never heard of them before.
Okay.
But this article here from the Daily Mail says Roku, which is a very big tech company, the streaming giant, had 26% of its cash reserves, over $480 million, tied up in Silicon Valley Bank.
I mean, I'm almost reasonably certain that, not every, but a whole bunch of the early disruption apps, Uber, for example, would have at least had some business dealings with SVB.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to know, is who is this going to affect? Who this weekend is running around like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to figure out how they're going to keep their business afloat when they didn't do anything wrong? You know, Roku didn't run their business wrong by choosing Bank A over Bank B.
Right.
You have no idea when you walk through the doors of a bank how fiscally responsible these people are. And as the article that we didn't get into, because thankfully we have Peekless Mountaineer here, this Yahoo Finance story says that Silicon Valley Bank just did what all banks do. They didn't do something that's considered crazy.
And in fact,
world.
They acted conservatively.
Yes,
they were not acting like they weren't taking unnecessary risks. And
like, say, the FTX exchange was
right.
With customer funds.
Right. In fact, they were acting more conservatively than you would expect. So
but it just goes to show that the system is so effed up.
Yeah.
That even the most conservative moves for bank investments have been undermined by the Federal Reserve's actions.
Yep.
And of course, they're intrinsically intertwined, right? Like these bankers are the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is the bankers, and they're all part of the same club.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Federal Reserve isn't likely to bail this bank out. But let's go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. Caller, what is your name? You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Going once. Caller going twice. All right. Let's try Ricky in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. And good evening to the other gentleman. I didn't catch your name.
The Reverend Captain Kickass.
What's on your mind tonight, Ricky?
Are you Captain Kickass tonight, Ian?
No, that's another person.
Okay, so he's Captain Kickass.
Correct.
Right. We're both here in the studio talking to you.
Okay, so who are you tonight, Ian?
Yes. What were you calling about?
Okay, well, this is an interesting one now that I'm totally confused. That being said, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Facebook and private companies. I came to an interesting observation that I've never heard anybody say.
Okay.
Now, one of the things about Facebook is they are totally, definitely not free speech. They'll ban you in a second for the stupidest reason.
That's right.
And you know what their answer is? Well, we're a private company. We can do that.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Okay, fine and dandy. I understand that, but here's the problem. Here's a conclusion I came to. Facebook is on the New York Stock Exchange. Plus, their stock is public and also publicly traded. Anybody can buy it. Anybody can trade it. It's not private stock, and you can't have it both ways. It's one or the other.
No, it's
so
a private
not
company.
A private company.
It's a private company that offers its stock to anyone who
public.
Wants to buy it.
Right.
It's public stock, not private stock. You can't have both. That's completely illegal.
That doesn't mean they're not a private company. They're still their own company. They still, you know, make decisions without consulting their stockholders every day to find out what the stockholders think. It's just you have the ability as a publicly available stock to purchase and trade and things like that. I mean, are you suggesting that the federal government should regulate Facebook?
Or take over it completely and run it themselves?
Well, here's something to think about. I have an answer to that. But when you said about stock, see, when you have private stock, that means all the stock has to get approved by the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something to think about. That's not the case. And as far as Facebook being regulated, I think the problem is, most of all, is their answer
is what?
They're all about money and advertising. That's the whole follow act, you know? Nothing else matters, Ian.
All right, well, don't use their service then. Thanks for the call. The number here is 60. I don't use it. I haven't been on Facebook for 5 years.
Yeah, I still use it.
I don't miss it. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join the show here. Hour number two is on the way. If you want to weigh in on the banking situation, feel free or whatever.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.